It's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Before her mid-20s, Cherie Booker already had worked for 9 years in the Albert P. Wiley Funeral Home. She started at 15 with a summer job answering phones and, as she says, babysitting bodies. Over the years, the job turned into a lot more, and Cherie Booker has written all about it in her memoir, 9 Years Under, Coming of Age in an Inner-City Funeral Home. Last month, Cherie Booker won the NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Literary Work by a debut author. I spoke with her about the book last June and asked her why she took the job.
Right before I took this job, my Aunt Mary, who was like my grandmother, a mother figure, my everything, the reason I'm spoiled to this day, she passed away. And this funeral home handled her services. And so while most people run away from death, I ran towards it. I felt like I needed closure. I wanted to know what happened there. And for some reason, you know, I just thought it would put me closer to her, closer to that world, or I needed some type of closure. And I felt like I could get it there at the funeral home.
Tell us about the patriarch of the business, Albert P. Wiley.
Yes. So Mr. Wiley has a very interesting story. He didn't go to mortuary school until he was 39, which is pretty late in the business. And then he worked for a few directors in Baltimore, and he opened his own, I think, a year or two before I started working there. He opened his own business, and it was doing quite well right there. And he was basically building this business for his son. Most funeral homes are family-owned businesses, and you'll see that. You'll see a Leroy Diet and Son, or you'll see one named after their son. So he was basically building this this business for his son and his family. They actually lived above the funeral home. There were living quarters on the third floor of the funeral home. So they actually lived there.
On Maryland Morning at 8:1, I'm Sheila Cass speaking with poet and spoken word artist Cherie Booker about her memoir, 9 Years Under. You write about the interplay between the funeral home and the crime mm-hmm. taking over the streets around it, especially drug crimes.
Mm-hmm.
How did you see that play out?
You know, the drug business is very territorial, number one. And so you would see a lot of homicides going on. And just from listening, you would hear a lot of stories from families who come in, and you would get the snippets of what happened. You know, sometimes they would share with Mr. Wiley what actually happened to their loved one. And so you would see a lot of different crimes. You would see botched robberies. You would see territorial battles. You know, a big-time drug dealer is killed, you know, by his competition or something like that. And as gang violence, you know, became more prevalent, you would see a lot of different gang fights as well.
You draw an analogy that I hadn't thought of exactly, that the funeral home businesses thrive in the Black community, similar to barbershops and beauty salons, offering services that white-owned businesses don't often tailor mm-hmm. to the clientele.
Definitely. In the funeral business, you saw this uprising of entrepreneurs. Most funeral directors are self-made men. They have to start somewhere, and it is like barbershops and beauty salons. Traditionally, back during segregation and civil rights, you would see that a lot of white funeral homes were not kind to Black patrons. So a lot of times, you know, you would have to enter through the back door. A lot of times they were abusive to the bodies, or, you know, they would do certain things. So some funeral directors, you know, they started to come up and started servicing their own race. And, you know, in our community, the funeral director is like the politician. He's like the preacher, very prestigious position. They're usually very vocal in the community. They serve on lots of boards. You see their billboards. You see them out at community events. They usually give back. You see their church fans in church that you can, the stick fans that you can fan with. So they're very visible in our communities. And they give back a lot, and they're supportive to their community. And that's why a lot of them get a lot of business, because when you're visible in the community, people feel like they know you. If they see you standing out on the stoop like a Mr. Wally who's going to wave to every person that rides by and, you know, who will remember you. So, you know, they feel connected to these people.
You wrote hundreds of poems.
Yes.
While you were on duty. At the funeral.
Don't tell Mr. Wally I was writing. No.
It's in the book. How did the funeral home influence your approach to poetry?
It gave me a real world perspective. I saw a lot. And the two poems that I chose to share in the book, you know, there were things that were going on in the community. I wrote a poem called Endangered Black Man that talked about the different homicides that I was seeing and the plight of the black man dying out here on the streets, selling drugs, caught up in this web. And then I wrote a poem called I Breathe, where I talked about just being grateful and thankful for life. And so being there, it did influence my poetry, but it also gave me a place of solitude, too. When we weren't busy, it was quiet in there. So I really had peace and time to really be in touch with my thoughts and write a lot.
Would you read one of those poems to us?
Sure. I breathe today. I breathe the breath of refreshment, a breath of realization, a breath of thanksgiving. I realize that breathing is much more refreshing. Definitely a blessing, and I am grateful for my breath because someone stopped breathing today. So I breathe a breath of sincere satisfaction and relief that they will rest in peace. Someone else is breathing artificial, inauthentic, unnatural breaths, and it's killing them softly. Someone's breathing is controlled by machines of forced life support, and their life is cut short because they thought a man-made machine could save them. And I breathe and I breathe and I breathe because I thought that I would never breathe again. And so I breathe for every sister that stopped at the hands of some trifling man. And I breathe for every child that never breathed because a selfish mother sacrificed her seed. And I breathe for every punctured lung injured at the hands of envious, ungodly spirits. And I pray for every lung that collapsed from carrying burdens from one lung to the next. I breathe for every asthmatic lung that had the wind knocked out of it. I breathe for every short-lived conversation. I breathe for every long-winded preacher. I breathe for everyone that's waiting to exhale. I inhale and I breathe and I breathe and I breathe and I breathe and I breathe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cherie Booker, poet, spoken word artist, author, teacher. I spoke with her last June. Her book is 9 Years Under, Coming of Age in an Inner City Funeral Home. Last month, it won the NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Literary Work by a Debut Author. Booker holds a Master of Fine Arts from Goucher and a BA from Notre Dame of Maryland University. We have more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay here on 88.1 for Jay Smooth.